There are four things. I think I added a fifth thing that we're praying about, that the Word of God will have free course, that the fruit will grow, yes, sir, that the gifts of the Spirit will flow, that the kingdom will be manifested. And he gave me a strange one. I caught me off guard. He said that their meeting will be, or the teaching and the meeting will be wet with a fresh anointing. And so those are the five things. I hope you caught a hold of some of them. We're praying about camp meeting. I don't know how many intercessors. Do you know how many I have, Boyta, around? No, how many I got with you? 13. And then I have another group. I think someone says over 70 or 80 or something praying at all times for any meeting we have. And so let's just ask the Lord to give the word free course, and that the fruit may grow, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, meekness, temperance, gifts of the Spirit may flow, whatever gift we need in these meetings, that the kingdom of God may manifest in revelation and understanding, and that the anointing will wet everything, that we'll be able to flow with the Spirit. We thank God for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Get your pad and pen out. I want you to write some things down, because I'm getting you prepared for what's coming. Releasing supernatural kingdom dominion, praying in the Spirit. Releasing supernatural kingdom dominion, praying in the Spirit. Paul points out in 1 Corinthians 14:2, he says, in 1 Corinthians 14, you get down there, Father, he said, my spirit prays. And he said, I pray in the Spirit, and I pray in understanding also. Praying in the Spirit is an activating of the power that is given us by the Holy Spirit. It's accessing spiritual levels that you cannot access no other way. And accessing another way, and then activating things in the Spirit. So I want you to have those two words, accessing and activating things in the Spirit, praying the Spirit. Now, the new birth, when we're born again, I need to go over this every time. When we're born again, it's the birth of the Spirit. Amen. When you're born again, you see John 1:12 says, look at it. But as many as receive him, to them give he the power to become the sons of God. So that's spiritual. You're born. You know, that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. That which is born of flesh is flesh. But you know, a lot of times people tell you you're not baptized with the Holy Spirit, birth of the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit. They tell you you're not saved. No, no. The new birth is a spiritual birth. But being baptized with the Holy Spirit, it brings this prayer language and it puts you in a fuller dimension of spiritual things. See, I'll look at one power there, and I look at another power in Acts 1:8. See, there's one power there, but there's another power in Acts 1:8. Jesus told him, don't leave without that. For the baptism of the Spirit is for ministry. It's for extra or more power to live Romans 8:14. I can just talk about it all night long. Romans 8:14 says, men is led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Well, those of us who are baptized by the Spirit and pray in the Spirit are more apt to be led by the Spirit in seen and unseen territory. Because, when you pray in the Spirit, you just trust God more. Then also, I think an aspect of being baptized with the Spirit, praying in tongue, we'll get in a few moments, praying in the Spirit, it give us the ability to operate in spiritual laws more efficiently. Amen. Like Romans 8:2. Look at Romans 8:2. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. See, all of these things are spiritual. And so the birth and the baptism is for a reason. Now with the baptism, you say you'll be endued with power from on high. I have no argument with that. I want all the power I can get. I need all the power I get. Do you? To be efficient in the spirit. To be, another word I want to say, to be accurate. Those who are baptized with the Spirit in the evidence of speaking in tongue are more accurate in the Spirit than a person who is born again, but they're not as accurate and not as powerful in the gifts, nor the fruit, nor the leading of the Spirit, nor the laws of the Spirit. They cannot be as powerful and as efficient as one who is baptized in the Spirit. Now, a lot of times, your people often make this mistake. They get baptized in the Holy Spirit, speak in tongue one time, and quit. See? And so, therefore, that energy, that supernatural energy, is not moving in their life. See, Paul said, I pray in tongue more than you all. So, Paul, all the revelation, revelation. Praying in the Spirit has to do with revelation. Insight. Understanding. There are times we prove it according to Romans 8:26-28. There are times you don't know how or what to pray for. My prayer language have served me well along those lines in my personal life, my family, the ministry here, different people I pray for. Sometimes you don't know how or what to pray for them. Sometimes people be lying. He got you praying for something and they're a mess. So you need to pray in the Spirit, and the Spirit will tell you, say, they're the mess, they're their own mess themselves. Go back and tell them, say, you the mess. So praying in the Spirit is not a game. It's not something to take lightly. I want to introduce you to some things to help you understand. And so releasing supernatural kingdom dominion, praying in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit opens up the revelation of Christ, and it calls you, turn to Psalm 110, calls you to reign in the midst of your enemies. Now, if you don't think you have some enemies, you're on another planet, I'm so glad for your life, because everybody don't like what you're doing or what you're saying. People don't like where you stay. They don't like what you drive. They don't like people just get upset about everything. In Psalm 110, verse 2, said, the Lord shall send the rod of thy strength out of Zion. Then he tell you this. You need to underline this. And when you get wheeled together and look like things not going, rule thou in the midst of thine enemy. Now, what praying in the Spirit had to do with that? I found many times when opposition was coming and things was opposing some things the Lord had told me to do, all I got to do is get off of myself and pray in the Spirit. I'll get enlightenment, but I'll get encouragement at the same time. And it seemed like something cover you, and some things you can't get out by yourself, you see. Now, Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. I got two translations I want to read in here. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18. Many times Paul talks about praying in the Spirit in different ways. Here he says in the 18th verse, praying always with all prayer and supplication, how?
In the Spirit.
In the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. See, he's saying praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Now, in the NIV Bible, it says, and pray in the Spirit on all occasion with all kinds of prayer and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the Lord's people. The Message Bible says it this way, Ephesians 6:18, in the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. You see, now, right there, right here, right now. Keep your eyes open. praying in the spirit have kept my eyes open to a lot of things. A lot of things I was not seeing physically. But yet when I spend some time praying in the spirit, I feel the Holy Ghost. I spend some time praying in the spirit, I see things I don't see. Know things I don't know. And have answers I don't know in the natural where they came from. It's a glorious position to be in. You can take off, you know, you don't have to pray a whole hour, about 10 or 15 minutes, praying in the spirit, concentrating on the Lord Jesus Christ and the Holy Ghost. He always have an answer. God give that as a gift to us. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. I said, thank God for the Holy Ghost. Thank God for praying in the Holy Ghost. So a lot of time we don't know what to do. See? And so you should not abuse this gift. You know, you just take time. If you don't feel nothing, just pray it anyway. Finally, you'll find out how important it really is. Then Acts, I read Ephesians 6:18. Now, Acts 2. Turn to Acts 2. I'm going to try to work up on something here that you can better understand how precious praying in the Spirit really is. In Acts chapter 2, you see them down one accord, and you see what happened in Acts 2:1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. You see that? As of a rushing mighty wind. Now, I got this thought. Praying in the spirit is a changer. I don't know, it just changed the very atmosphere around you, it changed the scenario, it changed everything. It's just a change. It's just a divine, supernatural way for us to live above worldly standards. All right, so notice here now, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. And that's what happens sometimes when you pray in the spirit. Suddenly you just rise up, dust yourself off, walk away. Suddenly you got an answer. Suddenly you have peace. You went in prayer, you was in trouble, but suddenly, all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost come, seemed to put his hand on you, and you can't even worry about that thing anymore. It just suddenly is settled. If you wanna experience that, praying in the spirit will bring some sudden settlement in situation that do not seem to be able to change. See, a lot of time your understanding need to be unfruitful. Sometimes your understanding interrupts your deliverance. And so when you're praying in spirit, you don't understand what you're praying. Guess who else don't understand? Satan don't understand. So you have a private, personal conversation with God about that situation. You can't get that thing straight. But you got your hand in the air, and all of a sudden confidence start coming on, you know. Change. It'll change you. It won't only change you. It'll change what you're dealing with. So here we have, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven. From heaven. When I deal with something, I want to hear from heaven. That sound came from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire that set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. What happened right after? They began to speak with other tongues as what? So praying in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit give us utterance. Now in Matthew 3:11, John said Jesus will baptize us with the Holy Ghost and fire. The Holy Ghost and fire. So for a minute here, I want to use some of these symbols that are released and describing the Holy Ghost, the wind, water, fire, rain. They're praying in the Spirit. Now listen to this very carefully now, because you want to hear this, because I'm going to tell you something else about it after a while. Praying in the Spirit keep the wind blowing. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Now I'm going to show you the effect of the wind after a while. Now this is a divine wind. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This is a wind caused thing to happen in the Spirit. Uh-huh. Like the wind in Ezekiel, yes, sir. 37, them dry bones. Yes, sir. That wasn't a regular wind. Yes, sir. No, that wind was God's breath. All right. So praying in the Spirit, keep the water flowing. Water is a type of the Holy Spirit. Then John chapter 7, verse 37, 39, say, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. When you're praying in the Spirit, I believe the rivers start flowing. Turn there, because some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about. John 7, 37. On that last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood. That's enough for me right there. Jesus stood and cried out, saying, if anyone thirst, let him come to me and drink. Now watch what he said. Keep on. Go to the next verse, 38. He who believe in me, as the scripture have said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living water. Where the old King James voice? That's the new King James voice. Out of his belly. Don't y'all be chanting no voice on me unless I tell you back there. He didn't believe in me. The scripture said, out of his belly, out of his innermost being, shall flow rivers of living water. Well, since water is a symbol of the Holy Ghost, I believe what Jesus is talking about is a greater flow of the Holy Ghost. No man, no woman can have a greater flow of the Holy Ghost and stay in the same position they were before it started happening. And the next verse tells you this, he spoke of the Spirit. So you got the wind, you got the water. Now you have also the fire. Now I've told you the scripture, Matthew 3 and 11. Praying in the Spirit keeps the fire burning. In the old church where you talk about a little wheel turning, keep the fire burning. What do you mean by the fire burning? Well, stay with the heat. Stay in the Spirit. Stay in your winning ground. Stay where you refuse to be defeated. See, he who pray in the Spirit has a fire with him. I wouldn't swap nothing for it. Jude 20, verse 19, verse 19 and 20 tell us about being sensual. Look at the 19th verse, and being spiritual. Being sensual, when you got a problem and you're real sensical, that thing will whoop you. But even though you're a child of God, see, that's the disadvantage of being a child of God and can't pray in the Spirit. It's for more power. Good God Almighty. See? And you be separated sensual, there are a lot of things that can defeat you, but when you separate yourself spiritually, see, praying in the Spirit is actually separating you spiritually. You understand? It putting you in a ground, it putting you on a divine ground to stand whatever test you're going through. So I want you to get this in your note. Now, I know this is true. I've experienced this so many times in my life. Praying in the Spirit keep the anointing growing. The anointing get greater and greater. Anybody can attest to that fact? Yeah, the anointing get greater and greater when you pray in the Spirit. Oh, yeah, we can start praying in the Spirit right now. The anointing get greater and greater. Yeah. Amen. And then according to Joel 2:23 and Zechariah 10:1, praying in the Spirit keeps the rain falling. Praying in the Spirit keep the rain falling. What do you mean by the rain? Well, I mean by not natural rain. I'm talking about the glory rain. I'm talking about the presence of God. seem to be wetting the situation you're dealing with. Either something flow or something drown, but the rain come, a refreshing come, a blessing come. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. I'm glad I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. See that Joel? You got Joel? Joel 2:23. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately, and he will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain and the latter rain, in the first month. Now Zechariah 10:1. It caused a rain. When you're praying in the spirit, it caused a spiritual rain. I believe we can get that. A spiritual rain. A spiritual rain. Yeah, that caused things on your behalf to grow. Zechariah 10:1 said, ask ye of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain, so the Lord shall make bright clouds and give them showers of rain to everyone grass in the field. Your grass in the field is your life, child. See, don't go looking at a field. He's talking about the things around you. I've had many personal rain. Pray in the tongue, pray in the spirit, and sometimes it don't take long. And it started raining. Man, I started raining. I started dancing. Yeah. No, I got an answer. Nothing haven't changed in the situation, but I know I got the answer. There's a quickening, a deeper quickening take place in your heart, in your spirit, in your mind. You just know you got it. You really can't explain praying in the spirit. You can just touch around it. It's so powerful. Got me out of many jails, many situations. Yeah, many situations, many sickness and disease and lack and limitation. I just pray in the spirit. I'm trying to stress the importance, because they try to push this on the side, but this is a man meal in the spirit. See. This got to stay right in the flow. You got to keep praying in the spirit if you want real life in the spirit. Are you listening? Notice 1 Corinthians 14, because it got some people try to do this, and it's the ignorance of not knowing that speaking in tongue is spoke of two aspects. One is a gift of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians 12, but then there's your personal prayer language. I said personal prayer language. Now, I like what Paul said here. Paul talked about he pray in tongue more than you all, if you read it. He said he pray in the spirit. But then he made a statement here that I think, because you'll get some religious folk going to try to stop you. In 1 Corinthians 14:39, he said, do not forbid speaking in tongue. Wherefore, brethren, covet to prophesy and forbid not to speak with tongue. You see that? Forbid not to speak with tongue. In other words, encourage a person to speak in the spirit. Don't forbid it. Like a lot of religions say, tongue left with the apostle. I'm glad I didn't believe that. See, all they got to do is let somebody teach them from the word. The word said over and over again. Paul said in Ephesians, in Acts 19, he said. He said, told them, talking to them, say of people. He said, have you received the Holy Ghost? He said, that's another part of God you're not getting. And them boys believed, and Paul prayed for them, and they received the Holy Ghost, spoke in tongue, and prophesied. Notice, you're right there, notice in the 15th chapter of that opening, and 16:5. That's not the right verse. I'm trying to find where Paul said he prayed in tongues more than y'all. Find that. It's in the 14th chapter, isn't it? Y'all going to help me or what? It's in what? 14 what? Yeah, you're right. I found it the same time you found it. So that means I found it. Thank my God, I speak with tongue more than you all. Now, Paul said that. Now, Apostle Leroy is going to say that. How you know you speak in tongue more than me? I know I do. I just flat foot know I do. You ever pray in tongue all day? All night? Now I see some of these intercessors. I get the message on my phone. Some of these girls are praying at 2 o'clock in the morning. 2:15, 2:45, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock. They praying. Hour, 15 minutes. They through for 7 o'clock. A lot of y'all still in the bed. They through. I mean, 13 of them prayed before 7 o'clock. They all time of night. I hear my phone. Hump! I say, that's when I'm moving. Somebody moving in the spirit. I say, I better start doing something here. Amen. Amen. Notice the 18th verse in that opening. The 18th verse, then all right, back to the 5th verse. Let's see if that's the right verse. The 5th verse. I would you all spoke in tongue, that, but rather that you prophesy. For greater is he that prophesied than he that speak with tongue, except he interpret. That's not the one I'm looking for. But if Paul speak with tongue more than you all. Praying in the spirit, I wrote this for you. Praying in the spirit releases an aspect of God's goodness that you won't ever get to unless you pray in the spirit. Praying in the spirit activates God's, now this is something here to hear, because you're going to hear more this week, so y'all get your own time to get some good seat. Praying in the spirit activates God's government at greater power. Now, boy, that's a mouthful of that. What you mean activate God's government? It activates God's kingdom and rule and reign and sovereignty at a greater dimension when praying in the spirit. It activated. I've seen it happen. I've seen, you ever heard of a coup? You know what a coup is?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, people rise up. Huh? I've seen coup knocked out by praying in tongues. The coup turn against each other. Yeah, pastor. Good pastor in the church. Boy, if you can't pray in tongues, you're going to be in trouble, man. You're going to come and they're going to have another lock on the door. Your key don't fit. I had a pastor told me, he said, man, I went to the church. My key didn't work. I didn't work with it. I said, man, the coup done got on you. They done lock you out. Praying in the spirit also releases aspects of grace unknown. Aspect of favor unknown. Praying in the spirit is a key to favor. It unlocks favor. God, it's something about praying in the spirit, my sisters and brother. Praying in the spirit access and activate kingdom wisdom at a higher level. All you need when you're dealing with something, all you need is kingdom wisdom. And praying in the spirit, activate it at a higher level. So the benefit of praying in the spirit releases supernatural kingdom dominion. Kingdom opinion must die before kingdom dominion can live in you. I want to go back. I said something to you about this, but let's go back to Acts 2 for a moment. We're talking about this second phase of power. You got power to become a child of God, but there's a second phase of power called a baptism with the Holy Ghost, with the evidence of speaking in tongues. Now, a jacket is not good unless you know how to jack it. You can have an air condition, but if you don't turn it on, you're going to sweat like everybody else. So having the Spirit and being able to activate the Spirit as a larger degree is what praying in the Spirit is about. How many of y'all understand that? Yeah. You can have the Spirit, but you can't activate it no more. See? But praying in the Spirit activate the Spirit at a higher dimension. The early church used their prayer language. It'll activate the gifts of the Spirit. Now, I talked to you about four winds. Go back to Acts 2. It says in certain heavens, Psalm heavens, a rushing mighty wind in verse 2. We talked about four winds, and I'm not satisfied with the insight that we may have about this. Now, make note of Ezekiel 37, 9 and 10. There's a supernatural manifestation of greatness when God's wind is moving in a situation. You won't get this? You won't get there's a supernatural manifestation of greatness when God's wind is moving in a situation. Now you know how to make the wind move, right? Don't go to sleep on me now. You know how to make the wind move, right? How? Praying the Holy Ghost, all right? God showed the prophet Ezekiel a valley of dry bone, which represented the house of Israel. The bone was, you remember, he said it was dry because they'd been in a state of death for a long time. Situation can get like that. But God told Ezekiel to prophesy to death and look at what happened. So Ezekiel said, I prophesied, he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood up on their feet, an exceeding great army. God told Ezekiel to prophesy to the four winds to bring life to these dead, dry bones. Notice these four winds. Now, I'm going to show you something about these four winds. They are the east wind, the west wind, the south wind, and the north wind. Now, let me give you what the east wind means. It means destruction and judgment. It removes all barriers in your life. Ooh, it makes me want to pray in tongue right now. Now, how can I do this, man of God? Just pray in tongue, say, I'm calling for the east wind. You got something barricade. I like that. I'm calling on the east wind. You got something kind of barricade your life in? Yeah, I give you permission. Tell the Lord, I'm calling on the east wind. Yet a little by Yakosayaya. Got a barrier in your life. Barrier. Something blocking. Barriers. You know something about barriers, right? Somewhere you want to go. Something you want to have. Something you want out of your life. See, y'all ought to be better off the next time I see y'all. Don't come here with that same look on your face. I'm trying to tell you how to get that look off your face. There's nothing, absolutely nothing can defeat you. If you use what God gives you to use and use it properly, my job is to bring it to you. You got to do it. You said, he don't know what I'm going to do. Did it label? Did it have a category of barriers there? No, it's a barrier, no matter what it is. Is anything too hard for God? So you got something that keep blocking you and you can't get where you're going. You say, God, the man of God, I'm praying for the east wind to blow. That move barriers out of my way. Man, be blessed. That's your answer right there. What ain't working right? What seemed to be holding you from your next step? That is right there. Let's look at it. You don't believe it? Look at it. Look at it. Wait a minute. Christian can bring destruction and judgment on situations. See, people don't want to talk about that. They tell you, be nice and love everybody. Yeah, I love them. But sometimes it's time for destruction and judgment because they don't want to seem to get out the way. And they're going to be with me the rest of my life. And I want them the rest of my life. So I got plans. Lord, send the east wind. Get this out of my way. If you only rely the authority and the power you have as a child of God. I just call my Isaiah. I'm not proud of this, but yes, I have to be somewhat proud of it because it was the Lord. I looked at old tape today, back when Creflo and I went to New Orleans. I'm going to let you get your hand on it one day. You need to see that. And I was disturbed in the spirit because the ministers in New Orleans had become a barrier to getting God's people set free from poverty and lack. Yes, Creflo and I went down there to profit. We're going to set New Orleans free. But they refused it. And I woke up that morning disturbed in the spirit. And the Lord said, I want you to prophesy. And tell New Orleans she come into a famine. You're going to have a hard time. I told him it was disrespectful. I said, don't even talk about me. I'm 60 miles away. But this man have come from all the way from Georgia as a man of God to feed this city. And the minister told the people. I know what they did. The minister shouldn't get in the pulpit in jail. He don't have to say it directly. He just alluded to a fact. And you see, we said, well, what about all them dead people? I don't have nothing to do with that. I say what the Lord told me to say. Now, New Orleans ain't black no more. New Orleans white now. It's too late. Goodbye. I was in New Orleans about 3 weeks ago. New Orleans ain't black no more. All right, Exodus 14. It'll never be black again either. Preachers told the people to stay home. And then they come show, one or two of them will show up, you know, like they with the meeting. My spirit said, they're not with you. They just come here to show their faith. They done told all their people to stay home. I saw them do Fred Price the same thing. Exodus chapter 14, verse 21. Talking about crossing the Red Sea. How did they cross the Red Sea? Woo, my goodness. Do you have any Red Seas in your life? You want to crawl. Holding you from where you need to go. Watch this. Lord, good. Listen. And Moses stretched out, 14:21, Exodus. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea. And the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong. East wind all that night and made the sea dry land and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground and the waters were all a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. 3 million people, man. And then God, that east wind brought judgment and destruction and moved the barrier for God's people. Praying in tongue can loose that wind. Good God Almighty. Then look with me again in Exodus 10. You might have something you need to deal with. If you don't, you're going to need it in time to come. Just stay alive. The west wind, get it, is mercy and grace. Mercy and grace. That wind blows mercy on the scene. It blows grace on the scene. That's a powerful combination, isn't it? Mercy and grace. Huh? You need mercy and grace. You say, Lord, I'm praying, let the west wind move. I need some mercy. I need some grace. No, notice here in Exodus 10, 10:19. And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. There remained not one locust in all the course of Egypt. You know, they were flooded with locusts, you know. But the east wind. But if the west wind blew. My. Then Pharaoh cried out to God and Moses for mercy and grace. And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind and took away the locusts. That's Exodus 10, 16 to 19. You can read that. The west wind is what? Now we're talking about praying in the spirit. We're talking about accessing and activating these winds in your personal life, in your home. You're not helpless. See, this system make us think we're helpless. This week, the Lord going to turn everything around for you. Yeah. I've been doing much praying in the spirit, and I've seen some things that are going to turn the church around completely. Every Christian, going to turn out for the better. A lot of your prayer life going to change. A lot of things you're praying about, you ain't to pray about it no more. Come from a different angle. The angle the Holy Ghost wanted to come from. All right, now notice the south wind. There's a shouting wind here. Because most people, the south wind deal with provision and destination. Woo-hoo. Psalm 78. We're talking about praying in the spirit. Getting these four winds are blowing. Provision and destination. Supernatural provision. Supernatural getting to your destination. Like when Philip was preaching, ministering to that man, all of a sudden he's in one place and look up, he's in another city. So they say, yeah, he transported. I think many times in my life I was dealing with things, I got transported. I was in a mess and all of a sudden I was in a bless. Get to praying in the spirit, it turned out to my favor. It's going to turn out to your favor. Whatever you're dealing with, it's going to turn out to your favor. God's going to turn it out to my favor. Say it. Huh? Quit all that worry. God's going to work it out. He always do. Yeah. See, my God, listen to what I'm about to say now. You got to be in tune to what God is doing. And he's working on another wavelength in the spirit. Don't look at the problem. Everybody can see the problem. See the solution. You cannot be pinned down. You cannot be blocked out. You cannot be jammed if you know what to do. I want the members of this church to know what to do. Pray in the Holy Ghost until a hole is open. I wouldn't tell you to do something I don't do myself. My life is pleasant and at peace because I know what to do. Not that I don't have no problem. There's no such place in the world not having no problem or situation coming up. But if you know what to do. Don't want you to preach about finances and God, people bogged down and broke and can't get to the corner store and nobody gonna preach about it and God didn't provide for us to have the best. You gonna tell me not to preach about that too much? Shut your mouth. You ain't preaching about it enough. Tom 7:8. Let me try to find a closing place here. Get the other wind and my goodness. Now this, sovereign provision and destiny. The Amplified Bible, probably brought in 7:8. South wind, we're dealing with, right? The King James version say 7:8:26. He calls the east wind to blow in the heaven and by he brought in the south wind. You see that? He called the east wind to blow in the heaven and by his power he brought in the south wind. And he ran flesh also upon them as dust and feather fowl like it has the sand of the sea. Get that now? That's plenty, you see. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitation. So they did eat and were well filled, and he gave them their own desire. The Amplified Bible says, by his power he brought in the south wind. He ran flesh also upon them as dust and feathers fowls like as the sand of the sea. And he let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitation. So they did eat and were well filled. You got any provision problem? You mean to tell me, Reverend, I can pray in tongue about provision? Absolutely. Then the north wind is a wind of vibrant growth and harvest. Vibrant, growing harvest. There in the Song of Solomon, I believe, 4:16. Awake, O north wind, and come, blow upon my garden, that the spices thereof may flow out. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruit. Whoo, Song of Solomon, 4:16, get it. I need to read that again. My God. The north wind is a wind of vibrant growth and harvest. I mean, you can pick up the pieces right now, baby. You can get it. Let's just get it on. Listen. Awake, O north wind, and come, blow upon my garden. What do you say, blow at? You said you're too dumb to say anything. Blow on my garden, I said. That the spices there may flow out. That's the good stuff, you see. Let my beloved come into his garden and eat his pleasant fruit. So praying in tongue releases the full mighty winds of God in your life. Hallelujah. Now, if you look at Acts chapter 10, verse 45 and 46, I know I said something about this, but I want to enlarge on it. He says there, praying in tongue magnifies God. Now, you can get that in the wrong aspect, but it enlarges your perception of God's power in your life. See, praying in tongues, magnify God. It make God bigger to you. Are you following it? You can't pray in tongue and God stay small. He keep magnifying him. He get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. And then you get bolder and bolder and bolder. And you get happier and happier. Praying in the spirit. See, praying in the spirit is a lot of praise, a lot of thanksgiving to God. But magnified means to increase in size and capacity. Increase in size and capacity in your life. Because everything in your life, God is bigger than that. You pray in tongue, he'll let you in on it. See? They that are with us are greater than they that are with them. Religion, I'm going to deal with it next week. Religion has smashed the kingdom out of us. And we are looking more to religion than revelation. When you are praying in tongues, listen, God is getting bigger and bigger on the inside of you. The bigger God get inside of you, the smaller the devil will be. Boy, I like that tongue enlarge your perception of God's power in your life. Let's close with this one. I always would use this. That's two things, two words I want you to remember. Praying in tongue, refreshing and rest. Refreshing and rest. I'm going to give you a scripture in a moment. Refreshing and rest. Those two words that you can stay spiritually refreshed and spiritually at rest no matter what you're going through. All right? I'm going to give you a scripture for that. And give you a word on it, then I'm going to close. Praying in tongue gives spiritual refreshing and rest. Isaiah chapter 28, verse 11 and 12. Isaiah chapter 28. Praying in tongue is good for you because it refreshes and gives spiritual rest. Yep. For with stammering lips and another tongue would he speak to his people, to whom he said, this is the rest wherewith you may cause the weary to rest, and this is the refreshing. Listen what I'm about to say now. Listen very carefully. Tongue, or praying in the spirit, praying in tongue, will give you rest in the midst of warfare. Boy, I've used it many times. I've been in many wars, boy. Woo, Lord, I've been in some battle. But there's a certain place you get in, you enter into rest. It don't make no difference. Shoot your best shot. It give you rest. This now, the Apostle Paul had this secret. This is how Paul kept himself strong, refreshed, and on the cutting edge. Wow. Write them down. Strong. You need to be strong. You need to have be refreshed, and you need to stay on the cutting edge of life. This is how Paul kept strong. Watch this. This is how Paul kept strong, refreshed, and on the cutting edge, even though all hell was a sign against him. even though all hell was a sign against him, but he stayed refreshed. Strong, refreshed, and on the cutting edge. I'll tell you something. You pray in the spirit, nobody will never know you got a problem. Guess what? You won't even know you have a problem. The problem speak naturally, you speak back to it spiritually. Who you think gonna win? So every day, my brothers and sisters, I'm gonna ask you, every day, take a fragment of time. Yeah, just pray in the spirit. Make sure you have a pad and pen with you. And if possible, a Bible or computer where you can get a verse, if you take it to a verse. And he'll show you the way out of everything. And he'll show you the way into everything he has promised you. Are you understanding me? You gonna do that?
Yes, sir.
Some of y'all doing it already.
Yes, sir.
But every day, don't let a day pass. You know, don't get hung up on the hour thing. Don't get hung up on that. Take some time, just pray. I'm turning this moment loose to the Holy Ghost. Stand on your feet. I'm turning this moment loose to the Holy Ghost. Is there anybody here not filled with the Spirit? Put your hand down. Anybody never been baptized with the Holy Spirit? I want to address you. You're not speaking in tongues. Anybody here who never spoke in tongues in their life? I just want to address it before we have this prayer going. Anybody here? I want to make sure I got a man here going to take care of you. That's the case. There's a hand there. Come here. He saved? He already saved. Come here, son. Well, where's my man? Who's my man tonight? You all there? All right. So come stand here, young man. Anybody else? Come on, join this young man. Come on now. We're going to get this straight tonight. Come on, because I'm about to let you pray in a few minutes. And you're not going to be able to join him if you're not baptized with the Holy Ghost. Come on, son. Come on. Come on. Anybody else? Come on. Just be honest with yourself. I've explained it thoroughly that it doesn't mean you don't have the Spirit, but there's another aspect of the Spirit that you can have for power. Cause those winds to blow. Anybody else? Here, you've never spoken in tongue before. I want you to join these two young men. They're gonna go in a moment and they're gonna receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And we have a little pamphlet. I love that little pamphlet. It got a little fire emblem on it. It explained the baptism of the Holy Spirit so clear and so plain. I really love it. We'll put it in these boys' hand they have in their pocket when they leave. Anybody else? Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for these two young men going to enter into another dimension of the Spirit. I pray that they have a free release to enter into that realm of anointing. In Jesus' name, amen. I go with him. As they go, we're going to just lift our hand and pray a few minutes. Come on. Let me hear the sound. Let me hear the song. Yero roba bashata. Kotola la basata. And you're praying for the person next to you. Yala la bashaka. And you're praying for the person next to you. You're not praying for yourself. You're praying for the person next to you. Hararabasho kote. Uraba basaka shatata. Shororo mama manana no koshata. And you're praying for the person next to you. O shata kararabashata. Thank you, Lord. Shara robabru baba kata tata. Ura baba shakata tata. Lord, bless my sister, bless my brother who's standing next to me. Atalabasho kotere te koroko sete. Robasa yahokosa. Woo, glory. Ararabasa, we loose the four winds. Shata baba on this meeting. On this thy people. Katsara baba sata. Whatever they're standing in need of. Shakata rasa yahya. Come on, say. Robaba, let it out. Chaka set chontra basha. Chorora basa yaya. O kanjenga, dango, dang, dang, dang. Chopro basaka tere. Roba kese no koshe. Ura basaka soro koshe. Ara basata kasataka.
Now, let me tell you what I heard. Let me tell you what I heard.
It's going to be strange because I heard it backwards. By now, go forth and dominate. Now, what I heard first, tell them go forth and dominate, and then I heard by now after. So by now, it's time for you to be dominated. As long as you've been in the church, you ought to have every situation under your feet. It doesn't mean the situation is still not acting up, but as long as it's under your feet. By now. And he said, go forth and dominate. Stop worrying, stop fearing, because it's not all working out right now. Just take authority over it in Jesus' name. I said, take authority over it in Jesus' name. All your weaknesses, all your shortcomings, take authority over it in Jesus' name. Got it? All right, give God praise. Hallelujah.